I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up in things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life while fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you're running down my country. Walking on the right inside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side. I mean, that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, it just gets worse and worse. The invasion continues, and we warned about this. We've talked about this before, but this is exactly what comes of an elite that cannot get rid of its indigenous white population fast enough. They're now pouring across the border, mostly Haitians, actually, the border of New York State, coming into Quebec, Canada, at the rate of over 150 a day. That's give or take almost 1,000 a week, and if it continues, there'll be many thousands by the end of the summer. See, what's happening is this. Haitians have been told by the Trump administration that a long holiday that they were given in the United States after the devastating earthquake of January 2010 might be coming to an end. They've been given temporary status in the United States, many, for reasons I don't think were substantial or good, but nonetheless they were. And Donald Trump, I think quite rightly, has said, well, look, after 7 years, maybe the time has come that you go back and rebuild your country. I mean, it's your country. Go and take care of it. So these people, being the quitters that they are, have decided, many of them, to skedaddle up to Canada. And it's organized. You don't think that somehow some Negro from Haiti living outside Miami decides to travel, what, about 1,000 miles north to the border between New York State and the province of Quebec and cross over on a whim? No, it's organized over the social media and probably worse. And then they come to the Canadian border. And of course, it's all bad faith. You see, if you're going to make a refugee claim, you're obligated to make it in the first safe country you're in. Where would that be? Well, they're in the United States. So if they feel that they qualify as a refugee, and we'll leave that discussion of that alone for the moment, but assuming they feel they qualify as a refugee, then they are obligated under the treaty Canada has with the United States to make that claim there. I mean, they're in a safe country, okay? Well, they don't. So they come to Canada. Now, if they were to come across a normal border crossing, you know, let's say whether along a highway, and the border crossing into the province of Quebec, they would have to admit that they were wanting to make a refugee claim, and they should be turned back. They actually are not turned back, but their chances of succeeding would be very low, because when their hearing comes, that is after some time here at our expense, you know, this is the curse that just keeps taking. So ka-ching, 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 the old Canadian taxpayers on the hook. But you see, due to an absurdity, I won't say an anomaly, an absurdity in the law, or in the interpretation of the law, if they cross illegally, that is, if they walk across a field, you know, 100 yards from the border crossing, a field which unfortunately is not fenced, is not properly guarded, all they have to do is walk across, and when the RCMP apprehends them, and the RCMP even assists them, you know, our entire rotten police and government establishment enables the invasion. These are every bit as bad, serious traitors as the ones who opened the doors of the gates of Troy to the Greek invaders. These official enablers. Okay, so what happens when they get in is that we now play what my friends call silly bugger. We say, well, you know, we don't know where they came from. Well, of course we know where they came from. How, you know, this is where it's often said, the law is an ass. Well, the law really is an ass. Where could they have come from? They've crossed over the border from the United States. Well, duh. Is it possible they dropped down from outer space? Oh, not really, is it? Well, what might the other possibility be? Oh, I don't know. Maybe somewhere down on the Texas-Mexico border, somebody has a super pogo stick, and you go whoop, 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 and project 1,000 miles. I don't think that's very likely either. So, okay, let's not be silly about it. Let's not be coy about it. Well, of course they came from the United States. Anyway, though, because the law intends to play silly bugger about it, we have to pretend that, well, we don't know where they came from. So they can make a refugee claim, because we don't know for a fact that they came from the United States, where they were obligated, if they wish to make a refugee claim, to make it there. What they are is welfare shopping. That's what this is all about. Better goodies up in the Dominion of Canada, and a better chance that they will be accepted. Now, they may not necessarily all be accepted, because, well, there are a couple of problems here. Haiti, give or take the odd little wrinkle, is a democratic country. They've had a number of elections since 2010. There are not egregious human rights violations down there. I mean, it's third world, so I mean, it's not perfect, but then we're not perfect either. There's nothing to do with being refugees. It's everything to do with opportunism. I don't blame a person for being an opportunist. But that doesn't mean we're obligated to accept them. And that's where the old thing begins. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. The endless cost of... Hello? Hello? Anyway, this is from the Globe and Mail. Hemmingford, Quebec. Actually, this is from the National Post. The scene greeting asylum seekers at a popular illegal border crossing point in Quebec on Thursday was vastly changed from that of a few months earlier. What used to be an unmarked ditch monitored by two RCMP patrol cars has turned into a makeshift reception center in response to the surging number of asylum seekers crossing the border at Hemmingford in the past 2 weeks. Folding chairs and bottles of water were available for border crossers in a large white tent as they waited to board a bus to be taken processing. You know, I mean, in my opinion, the people who are doing this are traitors. They are enabling an invasion. They are every bit as wicked, in my opinion, as somebody, a guest, let's say you had in your house, who opens the front door in the middle of the night to allow his relatives who are going to rob you in. And these people should be trying to force them back across the border. Metal barriers kept the media at bay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't want this reported, or not reported very much. No, keep the Canadian people in the dark and let the invaders in. As RCMP officers wait to arrest new arrivals crossing into Quebec from New York, arrest them. Why not just shove them back and say, not the way to get into Canada. Take your backpack or take your suitcase and go back, okay? We're giving you 30 seconds. Go back. RCMP Constable Enrique Gass said any suspected criminals will be taken to a detention center, although the bulk of newcomers are sent to nearby border crossings to file refugee claims. Oh yeah, system. Any suspected criminals. Do you believe that? You'd have to be deaf, dumb, and daft. Well, what's a suspected criminal? Hey, wait a sec. They're already criminals. They're crossing the border illegally. I'd arrest the entire lot. Well, actually, don't arrest them. Send them back. Build a fence. Send them back. Our officers are doing an extraordinary job in the field, he said in a phone interview. They're patient. They're professional. They're Canadian police officers just doing their job. No, they're not doing their jobs. They're not doing their jobs. They should be shoving these people back across the border. Send them back. This is the most disgusting form of establishment enabling. And frankly, I'm not interested in paying taxes to support these police. They are useless. Utterly flipping useless. At a Montreal news conference, Quebec's immigration minister said the number of people seeking asylum in the province has tripled in the past 2 weeks. Duh! We told you so! They were already creeping across the border in the dead of winter. Well, they saw the reception they were getting. They had the RCMP basically acting as their porters, carrying their suitcases for them. You don't have to be on the top end of the intelligence scale to see a sucker when he's there. Anyway, this is the immigration minister. Her name is Kathleen Weil, W-E-I-L. Let me tell you, she's not from County Tipperary. She said the numbers have surged to 150 a day. That's over 1,000 a week. She said Quebec has already received 6,500 asylum seekers by the end of June and is on track to having 12,000 by the end of the year. Well, I would say at the rate of 1,000 a week, we've got, maybe 20 weeks left in the year. Unless it tapers off, that's not going to be 12,000, dear. That's we're looking at... probably more like 30,000. Weil said the rate of new arrivals is putting a lot of pressure on temporary accommodation resources, which are needed while the Canadian government decides whether each newcomer is eligible to make a refugee claim. So the Canadian taxpayer is on the hook for these illegals who cross the border. So we're paying. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. There is a principle in both morality and political accountability that abuses occur when there is no balance between rights and obligations. These people enter the country illegally, they violate our law, and it becomes our obligation to care for them, rather than send them back, throw them out. And, she said that's the Jewish Quebec Minister of Immigration. She said the province has asked Ottawa for help in dealing with the volume of new arrivals, but ultimately will be able to handle the claims. So, as usual, the governments quarrel among themselves. Is the Fed should give us more money. No, it's the same Canadian taxpayer is being fleeced. Whether it's his front pocket or his back pocket, it's still his pocket that's being picked. Quote, we have a strong, competent, and experienced public and community network to deal with this type of situation, and will offer dignified and safe care for these people during the processing of their asylum applications. Well, bully for you, Miss Weil. We will know. The poor put-upon Canadian taxpayer will. Quebec Premier Philippe Couillard asked the federal government to speed up the claims evaluation process. Yeah, bring them in faster. Let's just stamp the old approval there. if it weren't so treasonous, it would almost be funny. It wants them to accelerate the treatment of the cases to the maximum so that we can quickly know if the asylum request is accepted or not, so we can better share expenses. Yeah, it's all just a catfight over which pocket of the taxpayer is going to be picked. His comments came a day after asylum seekers began arriving at Montreal's Olympic Stadium, which had been set up to accommodate as many as 600 people until September the 19th. So they're actually being stored in the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. One wonders if things will turn out or proceed as they did in New Orleans, where many people fleeing the Hurricane Katrina ended up in the big Metrodome in New Orleans, and there was all sorts of rapes and murders and just lots of good stuff there. The facility, that's the use of the Olympic Stadium, is just one of several temporary sites around the city housing 1,575 asylum seekers as of Thursday. Well, if they're coming at the rate of 1,000 a week, that's going to fill up pretty quickly. It's not a situation that's going to be permanent, she said. That's the minister of, immigration. Adding that the government would reassess each month, next month, should the surge not subside, you think? Why would it subside? Most of those arriving at the stadium are of Haitian descent. That's because the Trump administration is considering ending a program that granted Haitians so-called temporary protected status following the massive earthquake of 2010. Yeah, that's very close to a decade ago. Come on. If the program isn't extended, as many as 60,000 Haitians could be sent back to their homeland. Well, it is their homeland, Haiti. Go home. And I think many of them know enough not to make a refugee claim in the United States. Why? Because they're not refugees. They're opportunists. And I don't have a problem with a person being an opportunist, but that doesn't create, on our part, an obligation to accommodate them. This is a Marjorie Villefranche of the Maison d'Haïti, which is a Haitian organization in Montreal, said, many are inspired by claims on social media about what was awaiting them in Canada, a welcoming place that is easy to enter. Well, that's quite true. We have a good time had by one and all. The pictures in Creole don't explain the lengthy refugee process that awaits or the fact that there are no guarantees they'll be allowed to stay. Yes, but they will certainly be a burden on the Canadian taxpayer. Liberal MP Mark Miller, speaking on behalf of the federal government, said Ottawa will increase staff and resources to ensure the refugee claimants are processed in a timely manner. So all they do is just continue to enable. Does the Canadian government put out ads in Creole on the American social media warning these people we might turn you could be turned back? No, because the long-term agenda is to replace the white people of Canada. That's the agenda of the trust fund kid. He people like Angela Merkel, they just don't like us. They don't like white people very much. And they want us overwhelmed and overcome just as quickly as possible. So they're only too happy. Yeah, they don't care where they come from, as long as they're third world. More on immigration. Donald Trump has made an announcement that he's going to be seeking legislation in Congress to massively curtail legal immigration to the United States. In other words, cut back the numbers to provide more jobs for Americans, more opportunity for Americans, and to insist that the newcomers have qualifications. In other words, looking for people who, can speak English. Well, there's already been bitter opposition to that. What do you mean speak English? Well, when people came 100 years ago, they didn't have to speak English. No. And they were locked into menial jobs for a long time until they could. But today, there are not a lot of menial jobs on the bottom of the employment pyramid. In fact, the allowing people in like this disadvantages the weakest in our own society from getting into the job market. So what Donald Trump is suggesting is fewer illegal immigrants and requiring them to have qualifications, looking for people who can actually add to the United States, not add to the welfare burden or to the social costs to the United States, but actually be value added. Oh my gosh, he must be a national socialist or something. Yeah, but so depraved and degenerate has our system become that such basic common sense suddenly sounds like, ooh, he's a radical, far out. And in this, there's been a bit of a controversy over Statue of Liberty. Remember, it's not the Statue of Immigration, it's the Statue of Liberty, which was largely, which in common understanding has been partly hijacked by a poem that was affixed to it long after France gave the Statue of Liberty, don't forget, Liberty, to the United States, written by a Jewess, an American Jewess named Emma Lazarus. And it was entirely selfish. She was thinking about tenderizing people's brains to allow in more Jewish immigration. This was in the last decades of the 19th century. They were trying to get a lot of American Jews, were trying to get a lot of European Jews who were still in the Russian Empire into the United States. it's part of the chronic disinformation inflicted upon the American public by rascally media and stupid education system, a stupid education system, that a lot of people have the Statue of Liberty confused with Emma Lazarus's poem, you know, "Give us your tired, your give us the waste cases of the world, and we'll make them part of America." That was not what the Statue of Liberty is for. Anyway, a spokesman for the White House, senior advisor Stephen Miller, got into quite a wrangle with CNN's Jim Acosta over the immigration, English speakers, and cosmopolitan bias. And I really like this. What the president is proposing here does not sound like it's in keeping with American tradition when it comes to immigration, the CNN reporter said to Miller this past week. The Statue of Liberty says, "Give me your poor, your tired, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." The implication of Acosta's description was that the statue is an invitation to immigration. It is not. It's a Statue of Liberty. Not so, Miller retorted. And he said, "The Statue of Liberty is a symbol of liberty and lighting the world. It's a symbol of American liberty, lighting the world. The poem that you refer to that was added later is not actually a part of the original Statue of Liberty." And, scholars have said that Miller's absolutely right. The poem, "New Colossus," was not part of the original statue built by the French and given to the American people as a gift to celebrate the country's centennial. That was in 1876. But Americans had to raise money to build a base, so poet Emma Lazarus was asked to compose the poem in 1883 as part of a fundraising effort. A wealthy New York socialite and widely published writer, Lazarus was also related to the first Jewish settlers in America. Well, she was Jewish. I mean, well, that's not, even when the lamestream media is trying to more or less tell you the truth, they just can't be direct about it. She was Jewish. Inspiring the 34-year-old, that's Emma Lazarus, who wrote the poem, was her advocacy on behalf of Jewish refugees coming from Europe. As Time magazine pointed out, originally the meaning of the monument had more to do with the abolition of slavery than with immigration. In the 1860s, French anti-slavery activist Edouard de Laboulaye had first proposed that France should make a gift to the statue dubbed Liberty Enlightening the World, designed by French sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi. Both to commemorate the alliance between the U.S. and France during the American Revolution and the end of slavery in the U.S. after the Civil War. And that's according to the U.S. National Park Service. So the statue had nothing to do with immigration. In a sense, Emma Lazarus's poem hijacked the agenda. And let's be quite clear what her intentions were. She was advocating for wholesale immigration of her own people, of Jews. You see, immigration is always entirely selfish. No immigrant comes to Canada or the United States because they want to make our country better. Oh, just think about it. You are going to leave a place that you live and go to a foreign country, a place where you perhaps don't speak the language. The culture is different, the ways are different. There's a long, maybe a dangerous journey to undergo to get there. You're not going to go there unless you believe, rightly or wrongly, but unless you believe that you will do better there. In other words, immigration is entirely selfish. People think they can do better here than they can back home. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's be realistic. From our point of view, immigration must be selfish. Just because you want to come to Canada or the United States does not impose on us an obligation to take you. Anyway, back to the Emma Lazarus poem. In 1903, 16 years after Lazarus's death, she died relatively young. The poem was inscribed on the statue's base just as millions of immigrants were streaming into New York Harbor. Actually, 23.5 million persons immigrated between 1880 and 1920. Time reported that that Esther Shore, now she's Jewish, who wrote a biography of the author, said in 2011, Emma Lazarus was the first American to make any sense of this statue. Well, this is absolutely nonsense. The statue was a statue of liberty shining its light and enlightenment on the world. It was not come one, come all to the big old welfare land of the United States. But, you know, there's been significant Jewish efforts to hijack the meaning of the statue. Anyway, White House spokesman and senior advisor Miller replied, a little bit earlier. Meanwhile, the president's proposed legislation unveiled on Wednesday of this week foresees a dramatic overhaul of the U.S. immigration system. If passed, the bill would lead to a significant decrease in the number of green cards issued to immigrants and eliminates some benefits enjoyed by prospective immigrants with family members already here. Instead, applicants with advanced degrees, particular skills, or job offers would be given preference. In other words, can you hit the ground running financially or economically, or are we going to have someone have to subsidize you? The requirement that immigrants know English before coming to the United States also aroused, I think it was CNN. I believe it was a CNN reporter, Acosta's, Jim Acosta's outrage. Acosta asked Miller, are we going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia? Poor old Acosta, couldn't even remember that Canadians on a good day speak English too. Miller really zapped him. He said, I'm shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree. That is one of the most outrageous, insulting, ignorant, and foolish things you've ever said. I like that. Your cosmopolitan bias. You just don't like our people. That's what it comes down to. Let's make it quite clear, plain and simple. They hate us. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you in just a couple of minutes with more news and views for our people. Let's see what we're going to have today. I like this lady. I met her in Nashville, Tennessee. She was a big star from the late 80s, early 90s. Her name is Paulette Carlson, beautiful blonde lady from Minnesota. And why don't we play, this is one of her big ones, and it's called The Bed You Made For Me. And once we suppress this silly little pesky ad, Paulette Carlson and The Bed You Made For Me.
From your side, oh, what did I am with you? Was it hard for you to see? And did you tell her she was sleeping in the bed you made for me? And did you tell her she was sleeping? Yeah. The pillow that you made for me, it was soft and feather down. And the headboard, it came from an old house that was about to be torn down. And the songs you always sang to me, oh, I fall asleep. Did it sound the same I heard in the bed you made for me?
Paulette Carlson and The Bed You Made For Me. Here's one she recorded last year. It's called I'm Playing Trump.
The American dream is dead.
It's not so easy, but it's all or nothing. The odds are stacked, but I've got to stand for something. People talking like he's no good. Like I ain't got my own mind to decide how. I can't help but wonder what's in it for them. What more do they want? And how much and when? So I'm running my own hand now. I don't need your help. I believe I know.
For President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Yes, it's all but over, this game we play. You've been feeling from the bottom, I've been losing every day. Now I can see where I could finally win. Have a future for our children.
Government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed.
But it's part of a song.
And that's Paulette Carlson, and that's I'm Playing Trump from last year's election. And I'm going to close this short musical interlude with this is another piece I hope you like. And this is called, this is kind of a little bit of bluegrass gospel, Carl Jackson and the Little Mountain Church.
Friends and family gathered for the Lord. There's an old-fashioned preacher off the straight and narrow way for what few coins a congregation could afford. Dressed in all our Sunday best, we sat on pews of solid oak, and I remember how our voices filled the air, how Mama sounded like an angel on those high soprano notes. And when the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. Looking back now, that little mountain church house has become my life's cornerstone. It was there in that little mountain church house I first heard the word to base my life upon. Sunday singings and dinner on the ground, many were the souls that were revived. While the brothers and the sisters who'd gone on to glory land slept in peace in the maple grove nearby. Looking back now, that little mountain church house has become my life's cornerstone.
And that's Carl Jackson and, well, Little Mountain Church House. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio. com. Well, let's see, lots more news and views for our people. Oh yes, God save us from the meddlers and the professional nuisances and the thought control freaks who are endlessly bend over to curry the favor of the minorities and the politically correct. Right across the Dominion of Canada, we have something called vanity license plates. And those are, as you might imagine, a license plate where you can have your name down there or something else like that. You know, you might put, or something that appeals to you, you know, like I'd say you're a big fisherman, you might put down Fisher number one, or your initials are JPJ. You could put JPJ on number one, or JPJ, your lucky number might be seven, so JPJ 77. Of course, there's a big battle in a number of provinces against number that, or any vanity plate that might be racist, you know. So you could have Indian pride, and a friend of mine has fought this out and is still fighting it out in British Columbia. But if you have white pride, that's racist. It's part of our dispossession, but these are good fights to fight because it forces the rotten establishment, the rotten political elite, it exposes them for their hypocrisy. Well, this is from Christy Blatchford, one of the best reporters, probably the best court reporter in Canada. When resisting is not futile. Subtitle, and I think I really agree with her there. Surely there are bigger issues to be addressed. It is, as the delightful John Carpe says, a full frontal assault on the English language. This insane revocation of a personalized license by Manitoba Public Insurance, that's the MPI, in Canada, in the Prairie Province of Manitoba. The plate in question belonged to a Nicholas Troller, a Winnipeg resident and Star Trek devotee, who in 2015 applied for a plate that read ASIMIL 8. ASIMIL and the number 8, SIMIL 8. In honor of the iconic movie and the TV series, he paid his $100 extra fee and proudly framed it in a border that used two famous Star Trek phrases. We are the Borg and resistance is futile. For those of us like me, writes Christy Blatchford, who aren't Trekkies, assimilate is one of the few words the Borg ever speak, as in shortly before they take over an alien species to add to the collective mind, they say, you will be assimilated and resistance is futile. In any case, it was crystal clear by how Troller displayed the plate that his context was Star Trek and his use of a simile was in that sense. You know, this is to express himself. He displayed it for almost 2 years and renewed it in 2016 without a peep of complaint from the juggernaut that is MPI. That's Manitoba. Manitoba Public Insurance, which also, I guess, regulates license plates. A non-profit crown corporation with a staff of 1,750 and a self-description on its website that says, we're a large company, but we are accountable to you in every way. Yeah, like government. Well, they are government, really. Then in April this year, Troller got a letter from MPI telling him that his plate is considered offensive. MPI didn't say who found it so, why it was offensive, or if there had been complaints. That's what totalitarian political correctness looks like and smells like. He's not told it was offensive, how it was offensive, or who found it offensive, or if there'd even been any complaint. Political correctness operates on secretiveness, secrecy and deliberate vagueness. That's why one of the favorite terms in political correctness is inappropriate. Your comment is inappropriate. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. It just means whoever said that doesn't like it. Troller was ordered to surrender the plate by May 1st, and being offered no course of appeal or recourse, did. In late May, by which time Carpe and the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, he founded in 2010, had found him a lawyer, and the lawyer wrote to request that the plate be reinstated. More than a month later, a time span that suggests a considered response, MPI told the lawyer that it wouldn't be. Then the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom has now launched a court action seeking a declaration that that the Manitoba Provincial Insurance, which is a creature of the Manitoba government, that it breached Troller's Charter rights to freedom of expression under category Section 2B. In the category of fundamental freedoms, Canadians are guaranteed freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression. And they're also seeking an order reinstating the plate. As his lawyer, Jay Cameron, notes in his notice of application, not only is the Manitoba government required to uphold these basic freedoms, but also, as of 2015, it particularly invites Manitobans to express themselves via personalized plates. As the Manitoba Provincial Insurance website says, many people prefer to let their personalized license plates speak for them. They can make a statement about a professional favorite hobby, status in life, or pride in vehicle ownership. And what is being a Star Trek fan if not a hobby? As befitting a faceless bureaucracy, and despite its pledge to always be accountable, MPI hasn't deigned to offer an explanation.
They don't, because there is no explanation.
Now, there's a guess, not an explanation. But the smart betting is that, someone complained that Assimilate is associated with the residential school scandal. How? It doesn't say residential schools were going to assimilate you. The plate doesn't say that. Or B, the complainant or complainants had not met many in number and cannot possibly speak for the diverse Indigenous communities in this country any more than Black Lives Matter can speak for the Negro community. It may have been an Indian, but maybe not. Is because of Jack Houn, the Post Media reporter who wrote about this story earlier this week, that I can say with some confidence. He sought comment from the Indian community, that's Native Indians, and is quoted at length the University of Manitoba Assistant Professor Negan Sinclair, who called the free speech argument bogus. If Indigenous peoples feel triggered by a license plate, or a sports logo, or the name of a historical building, Canadians would be best served to listen to why Indigenous people are triggered and show some care and sensitivity when they express themselves. You can't say whatever you want to say without any worries of consequences or responsibility. Why shouldn't you? The license is not a threat to anybody, but the assimilate is not threatening somebody. It's not, if you're an Indian, I'm going to come and kill you. It's no threat. It's an opinion. So, according to this professor, I assume it's a she. Negan Sinclair. Assistant professor of Native Studies. To this, I'd suggest, says Christy Blatchford, that if being triggered by a license plate, that clearly refers to Star Trek, is a genuine concern for Indian, Native Indian Canadians, then they are approaching that lucky state where life is sufficiently easy that you don't have to worry deeply, that you can worry deeply about words and feelings. And that just can't be true, says Christy Blatchford. Given the shameful number of Indians who must still boil their water because drinking it or before drinking it, or who live in substandard housing, or whose families continue to suffer the effects of family problems. On residences, on reserves. Yeah, there really are problems. And she goes on to say, quote, John Carpe said in a phone interview, we live pretty agreeably with certain constraints upon freedom of expression. One can't expect to have a four-letter word on a license plate or be able to use a plate to denigrate certain protected groups. And I know Carpe, and he's a little bit of a weak. He does some good work, but don't want to get into a slanging match. But no, I don't agree with that. I think you should be able to say what you want. It expresses you. Now, somebody doesn't like it, well, they don't have to like it. I'm expressing, my feeling. Why can't you denigrate or make some comment that might be seen to denigrate a privileged minority? Well, why are there privileged minorities? There shouldn't be. I think this country is fed up to the gills with special privilege, special people, special this, and special that. And Christy Blatchford ends up her column, which I think is really good. She did a really good job. She ends it up, and I have promptly lost it. Wouldn't you know? Anyway, great job. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. Show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada. And I hope I can do this, the Maple Leaf Forever. Let's see if we can get this to play for us tonight. I'm telling you, we do have our problems. Okay, we'll try to get it another way here. We're on every night, except... Sunday. This is Canada's real anthem, the Maple Leaf Forever, played by the 48th Highlanders.